Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, movie review and talk show podcast that comes your way every Saturday, whether you're ready for it or not, in our quest to take over the world. You're helping us out with that, so thank you very much. These are the internet radio superstars.
Holly, Michaela,
Sean,
and I'm Colin, and tonight we watched a movie that was chosen by...
Sean, What effects did you have on us tonight?
An effect of the butterfly sort.
The butterfly sort.
We've gone back 20 years to the year that I think one of us graduated high school. You graduated the year before, the year after.
The year before.
2004 is The Butterfly Effect.
Wow.
Starring Ashton Kutcher somewhere at the height of his fame.
Yeah, it was that 70s show.
Yeah. Oh, that 70s show was starting to get bad at this point.
It was near the end, and I think he wasn't on as much. I think there were like 2 years left.
Okay, so
like
it
that.
Had gone bad for a while. Then.
Right, so he went off to do something and showed up every now and again.
This was his first like serious movie, right?
Well, let's see, because we are...
Done Dude, Where's My Car?
Right, Down You Reindeer Game showed up. Dude, Where's My Car? 2000.
Okay.
Texas Rangers.
What?
If you remember that one with James Vanderbeek.
I don't remember that.
You guys remember? He's like, Rangers, let's ride. He was very proud to get that line at the end of the movie.
I don't remember that.
Don't remember
but now I need to look it up.
Do we all remember Just Married?
Yes.
Okay.
I do remember that.
Right, I remember
yes.
Just Married. That was good. My Boss's Daughter, that movie sucked.
Yeah, that's a terrible movie.
He was in Cheaper by the Dozen.
Ooh.
Punk'd started in 2003.
So he's
riding. That was his like, second career.
Yeah, so he's riding
that
high.
They would never do that show now.
No.
The amount of liability and like insurance that must be required.
Versions of it. I think the kid from Stranger Things has a version of it.
Yeah, I was like,
people.
I feel like there's been like 8 different versions of like celebrity like pranks, right?
Yes,
man, there's some clips
Jackass,
on that show that are iconic.
Like, took over, right? Mm-hmm. Jackass. Was there?
Jackass before.
Mm-hmm. Was
Jackass,
it?
No, Jackass was before.
Jackass,
it was like 90s.
Jackass was stunts. Punk'd was pranks.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on quote-unquote unsuspecting celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The one that always made me laugh was Beyonce knocking the Christmas tree over at the in front of the charity in front of all the kids. She was hilarious. Because it was just cringe. It wasn't
really
damaging.
Got everybody, didn't
but
he?
But didn't Zach Braff beat the shit out of the kid he thought spray-painted his Lamborghini?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, did he?
I thought,
I don't
like,
know.
there was bad shit that happened from that show.
I wonder.
I remember watching that show. Mm-hmm.
I remember Justin Timberlake cried.
Oh, yeah. Justin Timberlake was like, can you please stop? He was like being a little bitch about it. It was funny.
Yeah. In the 2000s, he would also eventually go on to in 2005, Guess Who, which is the remake of Guess Who's Coming Together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Mac, right?
Yep.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was in the Bernie Mac show, I think, once or twice. That 70s show, Bobby, open season, The Guardian.
And somewhere he married Demi
what
Moore.
What Happens in Vegas, 2008. He did in there. Personal Effects, let's get to the one. Killers.
Just Married and What Happens in Vegas, I confuse.
Yeah.
I confuse those movies.
Yeah,
but so what are his serious
this
movies? This and Jobs?
Jobs. That's,
and that's it,
okay.
Right? So
like
he takes like a decade between serious projects.
God damn it. Why do you have to look so much like Steve Jobs? Why? Because he's perfectly cast as looking like Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
But
I know, but
I never saw the movie.
It is like strange to see him in a dramatic role.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was trying everything earlier.
And I guess that's the question. It's like, how come that didn't keep on? Like, how come he didn't? I mean, I guess Jobs says he did do it, but, you know.
He's not good at it. I'll say.
So that's our read on his performance in this, then?
It's hard to take him seriously.
Okay, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because we know him from all the other stuff. And
I think if you give enough time and don't watch any of his funny stuff and everything, it goes down better. Because I haven't seen him in much lately.
Yeah, neither
so watching
have I. So
this tonight,
like,
it felt more like giving him a clean slate in order to get into that. He would eventually go on to do, I don't know, was The Ranch a comedy?
That was like I watched like 2 episodes of that because Danny Masterson, man, was on that as well. And Sam Elliott. And it was like that Tim Allen show that's on now. It was like that their version of that
Last Man Standing.
It was their version.
It was a comedy.
Yeah, it was a sitcom.
Yeah,
it was a multi-cam sitcom, and it was
bad.
Yeah,
he wasn't in The Slap, was he?
No, not The Slap. But he did take over on 2 and a Half Men.
Okay.
Five seasons.
4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah. Wasn't it supposed to just be one to wrap it up, and then it just kept going?
I think it's just like, we got something here. We can do this. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Sure.
Well, I guess we skipped it, but who was the director on The Butterfly Effect?
The directors and writers are Eric Bress and Jay, it's either Mackey or Mackay, Jay Mackay Gruber. These guys also co-wrote together Final Destination 2.
Nice.
Okay.
All right.
So
okay.
If that kind of feels.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I was like, I get a vibe.
Which was,
yeah.
What, 2002? Yeah. Right? So that's before this?
Thanks. Yeah, I think it was before this. They also created the Fox Family Channel, whatever it was, Kyle XY, if we all.
Oh, yeah, the ABC that. Family TV series.
ABC Family, yeah.
All the promos were him being like, I don't have a belly button.
Don't have a belly button. That's all I remember.
Right. Yes. I was hoping somebody else would remember this.
That's all I remember. Hey, this guy's a freak. He doesn't have a belly button.
I didn't
come watch the show.
I didn't watch it.
No.
I just knew he didn't have a belly button.
I watched some of it because he was an alien, right?
I would assume so.
Without a belly button. Yeah, something like that.
How many seasons did Kyle XY run for?
3 or 4.
What?
Yeah, I went. Yeah, no, like 4 seasons.
With a name like Kyle, like you're either going to be an alien or a robot, right? Like,
but
one or the other.
They did not have 4 seasons worth of content when they started that show, I guarantee.
Probably
it.
Not, but they had a good lead in, The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
That's true, and that show was a hit. Yeah.
Everyone loved that show. Wow. Mostly, I think, for hate-watching, because I remember hate-watching the first 2 seasons of that, going, this is horrible.
Wow. So this is a... Yes. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, yeah.
Well, it's a time capsule, then. We're going back
Definitely.
To...
Yeah. Again, 2004, 20 years on.
The movie spans, I guess, several different decades, but, I mean, it lives... Are we saying... Does it feel like a 2004 movie?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay. It does.
It has that, like, that high contrast, almost black and white scenes, and then it'll go to oversaturated scenes where the color's all blown out. Yeah,
right. It's like, we really need to make sure people know what's going on here. So
was it Matthew Libatique did the cinematography on this one? Because he later, like, you know, blew up, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't he do some Darren Aronofsky movies and then Iron Man and a bunch of stuff?
Matthew Leonetti.
Oh, Leonetti. Okay. Wrong guy.
But he did, I mean, Poltergeist, Fast Times, Weird Science, Jagged Edge, Strange Days, Star Trek, First Contact, great movie.
But there was a thing, I guess, in this era where it was like dark and gritty movies. This is a dark and gritty movie. Holy
dark, gritty,
fuck.
Depressing.
This is just trauma porn.
This is trauma
porn
about,
the movie.
Let's talk about trauma.
The trauma index. Yeah.
The trauma of this movie or this movie causes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that is, I guess, kind of, that's what I remember. Because I saw this 20 years ago. That's the last time I saw it. That's the last time you guys saw it.
Collectively, we all said that last time we saw this was like in the theater or right after.
How come you never went back to it?
Because it was that off-putting.
I think I went back to it because my brothers, they were older than me, so I think they rented this a lot. We watched this quite a few times.
I remember an edited version playing on MTV a lot, too.
Yeah.
A lot. This was a big MTV push movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
It had,
I remember being on a lot, but I did not watch it all.
No, I channel flip as soon as you see ass and quicker laying in a bed. Yeah, keep going.
Well, didn't it? I mean, and we watched it again tonight, the trailer, but I mean, I remember being drawn in by the trailer at the time.
Yeah, it was a very compelling trailer.
Time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it seemed like it's got the horror movie guy voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got the horror movie font. It's done at the time, I guess a lot of horror films look like this. So it looked like a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe on my first watch, I was disappointed because it's really not a science fiction movie.
No,
it's not a horror movie, really. It's like a drama.
It's like a trauma drama.
Psychological.
A trauma drama.
Yeah, it is. It's a trauma drama. They want it to be like a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
This movie wants to be Donnie Darko so bad.
Yes.
And it is not. Even down to the pedophile next door. This movie
Seriously.
Is knocking off Donnie Darko.
Patrick Swayze was a pedophile.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in 20 years.
So is that the peeling back the veneer on the American, suburbia or something that they're doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is a time travel movie. I guess that we would classify it as, right? I mean,
in the vein of La Jetée, where you time travel in your mind.
Mm. Right, okay. That was the movie that eventually inspired 12 Monkeys.
Yes.
So you've seen it?
La Jetée?
Is it a short film?
Yeah. Okay. It was a short film. It's all done in stills, not a moving frame in that. It's just pictures, transitions, and everything. But yeah.
We probably talked about that. On our 12 Monkeys episode that we did, you can go back and check it out.
I wasn't here for that one, but I'll bet you did.
Okay, so what's the who is Ashton Kutcher in this movie?
He is. His name is Evan Treborn. I'm going to write this out for you guys.
That's even.
I think that's how they spell it. even if not, or we'll go with an A. But
Sean has visual aids for this part of the program.
Yeah, I do. All right, so Evan Treborn. For anybody who loved the Alucard Dracula problem, let's just draw a line right here.
Okay.
And what does that say?
Event Reborn.
Stop.
Oh, no. Oh,
no.
No.
No, that's so bad.
I just wanted to draw that out for you.
Event Reborn.
Perfect illustration of how dumb this movie is.
Oh,
like,
God.
This is...
Okay.
I guess you guys to have that in your heads.
Well, it's entered into pop culture, but what is the butterfly effect?
The butterfly effect is the theory that a butterfly can flap its wings in one side of the world, which, you know, causes a tidal wave on another
part
of
the world. Chaos theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, which was really hot in the
Oh, everyone loved it.
Yeah. Because, like, Jurassic Park popularized it, right?
So, yep, chaos.
So we started hearing that theory. Okay, so Event Reborn.
Yes.
I was actually tempted to pause the movie tonight. Do you know how long it is into the movie before Ashton Kutcher actually appears? I don't know the answer to this, but it felt like 20 minutes before he showed up.
Oh, yeah, I would say
we spent a lot of time with them as kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we set up the trauma before we have to relive all of it later on in the movie. But yes, it is a lot. It is 20 to 25 minutes of their early lives.
This is a very heavy and off-putting in a lot of ways movie.
Good
comes
God.
From New Line Cinema, who was, I think, you know, I mean, they were getting into dark subjects. Mm. It's funny that the kids go to see Seven in this movie, which was, you know, the prior decade thing.
Like, that seemed very strategic.
But if we're looking at what's happening in American cinema at this point in time, right, it's all about extremes. Like, we're having the torture porn and, you know, gore era. Like, Saw is taking off big right now.
Yeah.
Hostel's about to happen, or maybe it's just happened. Like,
Twisted Pictures. That
This whole, like, this, like,
New
kind
Line
of response to like what's going on in popular culture is coming out through the movies. So I'm not surprised that the dramas were also like, well, we have to be extreme too, you know?
Yeah, they got to keep up with all that. What's getting kids in the theaters nowadays.
Extreme by like every scene is just all dialed up.
Well, and every possible bad thing that could happen to someone happens to all these characters in this movie. It's just relentless.
Right.
Yeah.
The worst thing that could happen happens. And also, when the characters reunite, the first thing that they talk to each other about is the trauma that they went through.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, we're going to watch it. And then when the characters get back together, oh, we're going to talk about it.
And watch it again, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes we watch things two or three times.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very dour and depressing movie. I mean, there's just like kind of no let up from
that's
it.
That's why we were like, why are you bringing this? Sean, that's why we all audibly were like, ugh, when you said you wanted to bring this.
That's why I put it on there, Michaela, type back, wow.
I'm just, like,
all right, I'm just like, I really didn't remember it being this A long or B depressing. I knew there were some depressing parts. I forgot about the dog. I apologize.
It's grim. It's unusual, I guess. It feels now, in hindsight, looking back, you get a movie that's like just so unrelentingly grim.
The Machinist is this same level of bleak, I would say. A better movie, better same kind of unraveling of a mystery, and that movie has that crazy high contrast look to it too.
It does,
and that's the year before this,
and it's also that Requiem for a Dream is like that.
That's not depressing. Joking.
I was like,
it's a joke.
I'm sorry.
No, but there was I just had like a Adrian Brody
The jacket.
Was that also a time travel movie?
It was, because they put him in the straight jacket.
Yeah.
And I think they put him in a drawer, and then he went back in time.
Oh, God.
Like, it was a CT machine or something like that. He got scanned, and then all of a sudden it did something to his brain, and he was able to travel through time.
I remember, again, it's time traveling through the mind. I remember watching it once when it came out on tape, and then I never watched it again.
You mean Brent didn't bring it?
No.
Well, this was my question. Brent had a whole year of time travel?
Yeah, but he went for the big ones, including Hot Tub Time Machine.
And
like,
all three.
Like, he didn't bring this or the jacket, but he brought a Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's a choice.
Oh, Brent. And all three Back to the Future.
Yes, in the 1 year. So it's a time travel film, but you're right. It was like, you know, I mean, I guess it's kind of unusual that it's like there's no machine.
Right.
So how does time travel happen in this movie?
You read your special childhood journal.
You read your trauma.
You relive your trauma.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
And
you revisit your PTSD.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he is transported back there through the power of his mind. Like, you just have to believe that he is transferred back into his younger body. And so he's reliving the events, but his older mind is now back as a kid.
And specifically, then he realizes that he is actually present in, because I guess you read them as flashbacks.
Right. Until, until the character as the kid starts interacting with his environment and comes back with certain things.
He's actually like manipulating the space-time continuum in his head.
That's something that happens to him. Like he gets a burn on his stomach from a cigarette.
Right.
The scar shows up when he ends up back. So he's realizing, oh,
I can change
my past. Well, my past is affecting me. Can I affect the past?
Right. So it's one of those movies where I guess the most time travel movies of this type all basically say things may be bad, but if you go back and try to change the past, you just end up making it worse and worse and worse and successively worse. It's a disaster movie in some ways. So he just is able to do this in his mind, but why?
By reading his journals.
But why?
But why?
It's hereditary.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. There's that. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So
He just gets blackouts. That's just how you explain it. Yeah. He just has these blackouts.
I mean, like we were talking about the first 25 minutes of the movie, there's a mechanism for the child who suffers from blackouts, and so we skip parts of the beginning of the movie and end up like he goes to help a friend. He blacks out, comes back, doesn't know where he is or what's happening. Neither do we as the audience.
Yeah.
See, for some reason, when I was watching this, even tonight, because I'd forgotten, some of the plot mechanism, but I thought that those, so he's living all these traumatic moments. He blacks out during and the movie skips over like a hard edit. And I'm like, okay, so that's going to be the moment that he's traveled back and that's why he doesn't remember it, because he was possessed by his older person. But that's not actually, I guess, what happened. It is like he just blocked out trauma and then later, through reading the journals, is able to remember the memories and then like actually physically transport back into them and relive them. Right. He's able to do this because he's a superhero, because his father also possesses this ability and has passed it down to him.
Yes, and his father has
that's what you're taking from this
institute.
Well, I mean, it's a supernatural movie then, right?
Yeah, I would say
we're saying because of like a specific genetic, and that
there's
allows
some genetic component to it. Yeah.
Yes, this is great for producers, because they can say like, well, that means there might be other ones out there, and we can make the butterfly effect
yeah, you're my half sister,
and the butterfly effect three,
where it's all becomes like a man's girlfriend dies. What would he do to save his past?
We noticed that was the synopsis of
for second anther.
So they're basically that's the butterfly effect story. Something bad's going to happen to the girl you love, and you have a chance to
save
her.
The butterfly effect. The like chaos theory, and it's a one trick pony.
Yeah.
Save your girlfriend.
You could do anything.
Right.
Like nobody went bigger with it.
Yeah.
No, they just did the same movie three times, apparently.
You could stop 9/11. No, I'm going to save my girlfriend. Yeah.
Nope. I'm surprised we didn't get a quick hit to that. And he's like, nope, don't want to be here.
Honestly, the way this movie flows, like you half expect the end to be like a 9/11 ending.
Right.
You really do.
Right.
Like, It's got the vibe. It's on its way.
Yeah, it is a depressing ending once we get there. Yeah. We are going to spoil this movie as we try to untangle and turn back time through the butterfly effect. Okay. So I guess the first part of the movie, which I don't think that's actually in the movie.
It's over the
just
credits.
On the, it was?
It was over the credits.
Yeah. I was going to say, it was in there
we
somewhere.
Just heard
okay,
it, yeah.
I thought that was the trailer.
Oh,
it wasn't.
I thought it was over the credits.
I thought it was okay. We're forgetting already.
Yep,
has someone
it's
gone
butterfly
back and
affecting
affected
our brains.
You did, Sean.
Well,
yeah.
Back from
sorry if this brings up trauma. If any of you seize out and leave for a minute.
No, the song that was playing when they were like having the romantic dinner, I was instantly triggered.
What was that song? Yeah, because you seem to remember it very well. And
did you have the soundtrack?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
but
I just remember that song.
Mm-hmm.
But back in that time, those songs were so popular that like, that's why they're in there.
Is it funny that, I mean, it does seem like, I think we talked about it before, that back then they actually had, songs that, like, all the songs that were not, like, I mean, they were, it felt like original songs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They weren't, a memory of a song that you had done slower.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so the first.
Did I tell you I found the band that, like, does all those?
Really?
Like just one band?
I found a band that does. That's like all they do. They do the slowdown version.
They probably make a killing doing it.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
There's like, honestly, it's kind of fun to just put it on and listen to, like, see what the, like, there's a Can't Help Falling in Love that's really slow and creepy. Yes. Like, it's, it's
like, as much as it's overused, it's, you do like to hear that stuff. You're like, well, what's a different version of that?
Well, okay.
They can use it in a movie trailer.
There was a version recently that really did not work and took me out of it. That one episode of True Detective Night Country where they did Save Tonight slowed down. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Like, it
was
Eagle Eyed Cherry?
Yes. Yes. It took me completely out of the episode.
It's very distracting. Okay.
Finish the series just to hear that.
Yeah, I think you're okay.
Okay, fine. You've convinced me not to.
Yeah.
I want Squirrel Nut Zippers Hell done slow. That would be the creepy version of.
You said a lot of words.
That was a swing song, like in the 90s or whatever.
What was it? During the swing revival.
Yeah. It was called Hell by the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Yeah. Squirrel Nut Zippers. Okay.
Yeah.
Not the Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
No. No, not that one.
Okay. Zoot Suit Riot.
Yeah. I'm sure they toured together.
Probably guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
They sold out in Rockford, I'll tell you that.
So the movie has to.
Yeah.
Well, it has to. So the first half of the movie then has to set up this misery index so we can revisit it later and see how he alters it.
Yeah.
What are the events that just catalog them child experience and his friends experience?
These children had the worst childhood. Just the worst.
Well, who are the? I guess who are we talking about here? Who are our characters?
Right. So we have Evan.
We have Event Reborn.
Event Reborn. Yep.
We have his friend Lenny.
Lenny, yes. And then
Tommy.
Tommy.
Tommy. I forget.
And Kaylee.
Kaylee.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, Amy Smart.
Yeah, Amy Smart.
Oh, that's right. She's in this movie.
Yeah. I like Amy Smart.
I like her too,
but she ends up in some questionable
stuff. She does.
Is her biggest movie Crank?
That's all I could think of.
I think you're forgetting Mirrors. Just Friends is fucking great.
Just Friends.
Just Friends is great.
I remember, didn't she tear her face apart in Mirrors? Road trip.
Remember Rat Race?
Yeah.
Is she still? I assume she's still working.
I liked Rat Race.
I forgot she was in Starship Troopers. She had a small role.
Right. They raced to the flight deck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that.
Varsity Blues.
Oh, yeah, that's
Varsity
right.
Varsity Blues, right?
I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
That's all I think of.
I watched that movie so much in high school.
It was on MTV all the time.
Because it's great.
It's so good.
Because it's still good.
It's so good. I love that movie.
And Kaylee, then Amy Smart's character. This is child actors.
Yeah.
She is the sister of Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Who is a psychopath.
Yeah. Who are the children of Eric Stoltz?
Yes.
That's right. Eric Stoltz.
You announced it like they were the children of Thanos. You're just like the children of Eric Stoltz.
But this is
Eric Stoltz is in this movie.
Welcome back to our Eric Stoltz doubleheader this month.
Yeah. Wearing a wig made of his own hair.
Okay, when?
Yeah. Tell us.
I can't tell you more because that's all I was told on the internet.
Seriously?
Yeah. Well, they didn't mention why.
We had seen him with long hair for a while, but in this movie he has long hair and short hair.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He has
a molester haircut.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the long hair or the short hair?
It's definitely the short hair.
I just need more. Did they like cut his hair and save it for reshoots? Did they cut it and decide like, well, we're gonna give you long hair at some point, so let's make it into a wig? Like, what was the deciding factor here?
Did he have long hair for one scene
I'll bet so.
Because maybe they had to reshoot something. Like, shit.
I'll bet that's it.
That's what I'm saying. Was it for reshoots?
And I they bet were
just
it's
like,
for reshoots.
We're just going to hang on to this just in case.
He may have been doing he probably had long hair for a couple different projects and when he needed for something else, cut it off. He's like, I'll save this just in case I need.
Because we saw he had long hair last week.
Mm-hmm. I saw the picture.
That was like 10 years
and
prior.
And he had long hair in Pulp Fiction, didn't he?
That was exactly 10 years prior. Okay, so these kids live in a neighborhood in suburbia, and catalog of misery. What do they go through?
Everything.
Eric Stoltz molests them. Makes
kitty porn.
Yeah, with them, and
they kill. They blow up a baby.
He also beats up his daughter timeline. Well, and some it seems to switch back and forth depending on how we.
But I guess the initial one that we set up.
Yeah.
He beats his daughter.
He's just a general piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Tommy burns a dog alive.
Out of vengeance.
Yeah.
This is how you know he's a psychopath, because this is a premeditated thing that he did because. his best event friend, reborn, yeah. kissed his sister, Amy yeah. Smart.
Yes.
His best but friend kissed his sister.
Yeah. Because I thought there was some, like, you know, weirdo thing going on there.
Such a big infraction. He needs to torture a dog to death.
Yeah.
This kid is not. This kid fucking. All these kids suck, but this kid really sucks.
There's definitely really some underlying, like, brother inappropriate.
Oh yeah,
feelings for his sister.
Yes, yeah. yeah,
and maybe not so underlying, because I think he mentions it later.
Yeah,
and then the other one you mentioned it, baby killing. Well, so but the way that the movie
is looking baby ever,
but the way this is shot is comedic.
Yeah,
it's so over the. They are so perfectly innocent. It crosses into comedy,
right? Like, yeah, because when they do that lineup of when, like,
okay, well, we should say they're going to put a bomb in, they got a bomb from Eric Stoltz's creep basement,
the Blockbuster, yeah.
yeah
and they're told that it's a firecracker,
yes,
yeah,
but it's a bomb,
it's a big ass firecracker,
it's a stick of dynamite,
stick of dynamite.
And so they go and they're going to put it in a mailbox. And
a mailbox that looks one of those that's built to look just like the house.
And it already the house already looks like a dollhouse.
Yeah.
It's just the cutest little cottage.
It's perfect.
Who wouldn't want to blow it up or drive by and hit it with a bat?
I'm like, I'm just so angry at these kids. Yeah. I'm so
well, this
mad
is Tommy's idea.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tommy's idea is to have Lenny go put the stick of dynamite in the box. And he lights it for him and is like, go, you got 2 minutes. And Lenny makes a big show of it, going all slow and everything. I did not care for this scene.
No.
And then he drops it in, they get back to where they're watching spot. And then as soon as they get back, a car pulls up in the driveway.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, fuck. It's like a perfect like Subaru commercial.
Yeah.
Like, it's the sweetest mom getting the cutest baby in the history of the world out of the car with the biggest wide
the most innocent
eyes.
Child ever.
My favorite part is they walk towards the door and you're like, oh thank God. And they double back.
It's a sitcom.
It is.
And they're just like, and they're like,
and then, whoops, better get the mail.
Yeah.
What? No.
The funniest part is, I'm sorry, it's not funny, but the way they shot it is funny. The baby hand opens the mailbox.
The baby's,
the baby's like, mail.
Yep.
So the
little baby Igor.
See,
is this what happened to Igor? Is Igor this baby?
Yes.
Did he get blown up?
Yes.
The last thing you see is a close-up on this baby hand lifting that lid up. Cut to an explosion.
Well, I guess the...
You sick fuck.
But the
this
way
is later in the movie.
So the movie but doesn't tell us that.
No, this is a blackout moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We see, I think, maybe them...
We don't even see the car yet.
No, we don't see anything.
No.
We see them light it, and then he blacks out.
And then, so he's been drawing troubling drawings of mass murder in school. Mom takes him
very
to a psychiatrist. Was a psychiatrist. They did a brain scan on him, and then
they took him to Sunnyvale Institution.
Yep, and tried to do a regression hypnotherapy, and
which is like being possessed, apparently. This kid was thrashing around and like choking on blood, like,
because the doctor's theory is that he just has daddy issues because his daddy is absent from his life.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, he's like, one quick thing and it should fix it right up.
Let's, you know what?
This guy is
go
an
visit
idiot.
His dad, he'll be
well,
fine.
Where is his dad?
The source of all this trauma?
His dad is locked up in the institution.
His dad is in Smith's Grove, baby.
Yeah.
And so there's a scene missing there too because he goes in to see him, hi daddy, and the next thing is dad trying
blacks
to
out.
Strangle him to death.
Yep. Up to dad strangle him. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. At which point, I believe dad hits his head, dies, and there's a funeral scene.
Yeah, the security guy hits him.
There's a big puddle
just
of blood.
Stacking up the traumas.
Trauma
after trauma after trauma.
Yeah. Not a ton of love.
And I believe there was also like time skipping too through their trauma as we go from like 3 years later to 8 years later. And finally, Evan is well adjusted and in college.
But it's just like the first like 15, 20 minutes of this movie is just like hardcore trauma after the other.
Kids doing it to
with
each
kids.
Other.
Yeah. Like, it's so rough.
And it ends, I believe, with like the mom going, we're moving. And him having a tearful goodbye. I'll come back for you.
Also leave his best friend. Yeah, I'll come back for you. Yeah. He writes on a note.
Mm-hmm.
And
So what everybody
rough.
Well, yeah. So he in the present day, in college, right, where Ethan Sloopy is his roommate, is all gothed out. And
don't, okay, I gotta fix that.
Is it Souply?
Souply?
Souply or Supply, something like that.
It's definitely not Sloopy.
Sloopy.
Colin.
Sorry.
That's
putting my letters wonderful. Together.
That's No.
His name
no,
is
Colin.
Thumper.
Never change Colin.
His name is Thumper. We'll call him Thumper.
Yeah, let's call him Thumper.
So, and Thumper's always having sex with Dominic. matrixes and like in there.
Well, yeah,
because it's 2004
and there's a stark contrast split down the room of
we have two options. We have two options, frat boy and goth boy.
Basically
two options.
Like, I mean, this is like how they did, how they showed this in movies, right? Because it Urban Legends did the same thing with Daniel Harris. She was like the creepy goth roommate.
Half the room is black. Half the room is quote unquote normal.
You're either the in crowd or the goth crowd.
Right.
One or the other.
But but they're friends, which is the crossover.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a tale as old as time. You know, you got the greasers and the
Jet. Which is not.
What the fuck? The greasers and the.
Oh my god!
From The Outsiders, The
Socius. Oh, The Socius.
Sorry.
Well, he gets so I guess like so to establish what happened to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So we had the 15 minutes of the trauma,
right? Mm-hmm.
And now where is everybody at? He has a dream or something.
Yeah, he's starting to piece together his blackout memories because he's studying memory loss and memory. Recognition in his class. That's like his thesis.
Okay. How you compute it and how the brain.
He's like experimenting on worms and stuff.
And
so.
He's gone
The worm. I'm sorry. We got to stop for the worm. He said, if I can learn to understand the memory of a worm, just imagine what I can learn about the human memory.
Big jump.
Not at all the same.
Big jump.
I would even argue like, we don't know that worms even have memories.
Right.
That is.
Like news to me.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that feels like the writers went off and researched something, but didn't give you enough context.
No.
It's just kind of like the memories of worms. And you're like, what the fuck? But they're not even worms. He's got like maggots or something.
They're like mealworms.
Yeah.
I would expect like a big earthworm if you're going to study the memory, right? Something big.
So he's got this project going on.
Substantial, not a mealworm.
This is definitely like a faith that can move mountain situation.
So he
he hasn't had a blackout in 7 years.
And people in his life know what this means and are totally cool with it and act like it's a normal thing, like saying you've been sober for like 7 years or something, right? Because like he tells Ethan Suplee, he's like,
"We're going out tonight.
We're going out to celebrate.
It's like we're
going to
black out a different way."
And it's like, wait, so this is a thing you all talk about and celebrate together?
And no one has ever told him what happened or what he did or what he was a part of.
Right.
There's a lot like
there's a scene where his mom sees on the news like a deadly explosion killed a woman and her child, and
because at this point the only people that know what happened were the kids.
Right. And so that's what we're supposed to think, right? That he has no idea that a baby blew up.
Right.
Right.
As he's in college.
He has no idea anyone blew up.
Like nobody told him that.
I can't remember what happened.
The only people that know are Tommy, Lenny, and Kaylee. Kaylee is traumatized. Tommy's a psycho, and Lenny is institutionalized. Mm-hmm.
That seems like it would be. I mean, it was a big news story. The fact that a baby blew up. The mom also blew up, but I'm going to focus on the baby.
I mean, we should.
Right.
They have internet access and stuff. Like this guy never Googled himself.
If
once.
Nothing else, like I mean, aware of like around the town. It's like, hey, that lady blew up.
And there's the
Well, especially
that guy's
because
never been right since.
There is like a big. Police presence response, like the paramedics are there because the kids, one of them's traumatized and can't speak anymore.
Lenny is
like, what happened?
Lenny gets a bunch of it.
Yeah.
Just can't deal.
Well, because he was the one who was egged into planting the dynamite that killed the,
How would you feel?
And then he wasn't able to
save the dog
from being burned to death by the crazy psycho brother.
He's like, you guys are not my friends. Stop putting me in these situations where people are dying.
So years later, Ashton Kutcher now is trying to reconnect with all these folks. And of course, the thing he wants to talk with them about is the worst time in their life. Like, you remember that time we were molested in your father's basement? She's like, what? Get the fuck out of here.
And he comes, and this is after not talking to them for how many years? He just shows up and says, remember that horribly traumatic thing we experienced together?
He shows up waiting for her outside of her work in the dark.
It's just like, I mean, like, why did you come here?
Everything about it is awful and creepy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Read the room, bro.
Yeah, let's reconnect.
So
I know to set up how your life is, we just saw this horrible scene where you dropped everything in your restaurant job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy grabbed your ass and your boss hates
you
and everything. So
we have not experienced enough trauma yet. So let's do this little vignette inside this diner of her experiencing trauma, like four different types on an extremely short timeline.
Like it's like okay, so
40 seconds.
So basically this woman is experiencing trauma every single day of her life.
Every waking moment
every
of her
moment
life.
Of her life is traumatic.
I'm sure the filmmakers were hoping, well, hopefully we'll get a little something better when we do the flip and things do turn out better, but it doesn't. But then we go, right, like there's not enough of that to kind of glaze over the trauma and make you feel any better about it, which I'm sure they hoped at some point. But
I don't know if they did.
Or they were just like, everybody's into really edgy stuff right now, and we can just go dark. That's what. But I mean, did they miscalculate? Was it so dark that it turned audiences off? Do you know the box office on this? Was it a hit? I mean, we've all seen it.
Critically, not so great, but yeah, made money. And it was
because he was in it.
It just blows my mind because this is only 3 years after 9/11. Like, we've been through enough.
Right.
Why was this trauma needed?
At that time, the horror movies and stuff were very dark.
I know. Yeah, they were reflecting it. Yeah.
Well, it seemed like the inciting incident that sets off.
Made a lot of
did well.
$13 million budget, $96 million.
Oh, yeah.
It was popular when it came out.
Yeah. Again, we're Ashton Kutcher, probably a peak at this point.
So the inciting incident, if I remember correctly, for the rest of the movie, is basically he learns from Psycho Brother, who calls him at his dorm room and tells him, "What'd you say to my sister last night? She killed herself after talking to you. She's dead, and you are next."
On his answering machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so this, of course, Ashton Kutcher, now racked with guilt, figures out that if he stares at the, if he reads his journals, this, I thought, was odd. Like, he has to, like, the only way that he can force the time travel thing to happen is by reading the journal. Like, he can't just think of it. He has to read the journal.
That's what he thinks.
Yes.
That's right, because later on they move this out.
At this point, that's the only way he knows.
Did you ever see a movie called Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour?
Yes.
And he is a guy in the modern day who sees a woman in a photograph, falls in love with her, and he sits in a room and wills himself back into like 100 years prior
to that.
That's
love, baby. Huh.
And it was a very bittersweet movie, unlike this one. So,
wasn't there a Harrison Ford movie where the
Age of Adeline?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That was sort of, wasn't that, was it time traveling? I don't remember. I know she's alive.
She's immortal.
She's immortal. She doesn't age. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But there was Project Almanac. I think that the kids were going back and altering their,
Right.
So he goes back in time and he prevents the molestation from happening in the basement.
Yes.
And that creates an alternate world he wakes up in, and what's happened?
Okay, but he prevents it by just little kid version threatening an adult.
Yes.
Yeah. He's still a pedophile. Doesn't stop. He's still going to be Amy Smart. No,
he threw out the camcorder the next day because he was talked to by the
state. And he says, like, you're not going to touch her again. And and at this point, like, in this timeline, he doesn't touch her again. But he directs all of his anger to Tommy and beats him.
I'm just saying, you can't talk someone out of being a pedophile. It doesn't work
like
that way.
That would not have enough of an effect on him to have him stop forever.
No, but he just directed it all at the brother, is what we're supposed to
it's just like, okay, he did leave her alone and drank it all
because there is a weird,
that's the lesson that Ashton Kutcher learns, is that, like, I saved Kaylee, but I needed to save Tommy too.
The butterfly effect. See, it's got a ripple effect that you don't know where, but he wakes up in this, like,
he wakes up, it's Dorothy waking up in Oz basically. As far, like, as colors go,
but, like, you know, preppy Oz.
But preppy frat Oz.
2004 fashion everywhere. My God.
Yeah.
This is the most dated scene in the movie.
He's a frat boy. He wears clothes that are totally different. His accent is different. His walk is different. She tells us he is now in a relationship with the girl of his dreams.
Those things are not noticeable to the audience. I'm sorry. You can't say that and not give us, like, the way he walked or talked was not any different than anything.
Well, that's the point.
But it's.
We don't notice it.
Yeah,
but
that's the point. Yeah. Is because we're seeing the same version of Ashton Kutcher throughout the whole movie where she's like, this isn't the Ashton Kutcher that I've been in a relationship with.
Right.
You know, she's been in a relationship with a total frat douche. He's nicer.
Which we get a little hint of that later on. He accesses his inner douche.
And I'm just like, why are you doing this? Like, you know you don't have to do this.
Right.
You don't have to be the asshole.
Right, because at this point he's like, he knows what.
Yeah.
He's got a good idea of what he can
do.
At this point,
you're like 22 years old. Like, you should know.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be an asshole just because that version of you was.
Right. And you're not going to give away anything to the people around you because nobody's going to believe you if you told them why you were different anyway. Yeah.
So, I guess in this version, how are all the
branching timelines and everything?
How are all the. Because, I mean, we're looking at these four characters then. In this version, he's in a relationship with Amy Smart. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. They're going to get married.
Yeah, they're both assholes.
Do we know what happened to Lenny in this version?
I think Lenny is still still traumatized.
I don't even know if we go see him in this one.
I don't know that we do.
Because Tommy has become a complete raging psychopath who's just been released from prison.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he comes calling for motivation because Ashton Kutcher has been sleeping with his sister.
Yeah. Yep. That's okay. Still the main
thing. Oh, it's because, well, I mean, I guess it's because he got out of jail.
Right.
Yeah. That's why he's all of a sudden there trashing his car and right. Like, yeah. I'm going to kill you.
He says that his sister's the only one that didn't think he was a piece of shit. Mm-hmm.
But you are a piece of shit. Yeah. Like,
you can't cling, yeah. Right. You can't cling to the one person who thinks you're not. And
right.
And
everyone else
create
is the
your
problem.
Worldview out of that.
Yeah.
And so in this version, right, Ashton Kutcher kills Tommy in self-defense mm-hmm. and ends up convicted and in prison.
According to the movie, it's like premeditated murder.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so we have
the
a prison.
The way he gets convicted and, because we got to get him to prison.
Right. We're in prison for like another 20 minutes of the movie, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. We get to deal with prison
gangs. Lots of uncomfortable racism.
Uncomfortable racism.
Yeah. Lots of slurs being used. My
slurs,
God.
Threats of rape.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of threats of rape. I guess that's what prison is.
What was the line, which really I didn't miss, like, shit on my dick or knife or blood on my knife?
It's the same one from Shawshank.
Is it?
That same line is in Shawshank.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So how does he get out of this predicament?
So he's stuck in the jail. He doesn't have his journals, which he thinks is the only way to get him to activate all of this stuff at this mm-hmm. point. He asks his mom to... to bring them for him. She brings him two, and he's like,
"This is such a mom thing to do."
It's a really good mom. Come on!
It really that's where I go back to Michaela saying I can't take him seriously in this movie.
Yeah,
because it really sounded like Kelso.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah.
Mom,
it did. So that comes out a few times. This later on where he's being a little paranoid, which came across very funny. But yes, that mom moment was very funny. So he gets a couple.
Mom,
journals.
You didn't bring my writing notebook to prison.
Oh, it's the only thing I asked you to bring.
Well, I love that the mom part of it made me laugh so much because she was like, "I think the rest are in storage." And it's like, "Yeah, the whole point was I wanted you to get them out of storage." That's such a mom thing, though, to be like, "Well, I know where they are. I just didn't get them."
Yeah,
like,
right.
That, oh, yeah.
No, that's like, no, mom. I asked you to go to storage.
And we're thinking that this has been like, how long has he been in this timeline?
I don't
Not
know.
Not long. This is this is 3 days.
I mean, that's
I think he wakes up. Day one, and it's the perfect timeline. And then by day three, I think he's in jail.
Well, he's in prison.
But he's in prison, so he goes through like the whole court
process. Yeah, he's like, right.
Yeah.
If they had gone, what a shitty court process.
Yeah.
He ends up in fucking jail, but he hasn't been convicted of anything at this point.
I think he has.
He has, yeah.
That's what's crazy about it. He's not just like, if he was.
But according to the dialogue between him and his mom, they're still trying to do it.
Right, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because he's in like federal prison, and it's like, no, he should be in county lockup. Like, this is ridiculous.
Convict him or sentence him of anything.
Yeah. So he gets out of it by reading the journals, and I like the way that he performs the stigmata for Kevin Durant.
I did, that was pretty funny. Kevin Durant is, I like his character. He's pretty funny little moment there with him. We've all seen Kevin Durant in something or other.
He's
shown up and everything, Walking Tall, Lost, a bunch of stuff. But yeah, he runs into some Aryan gangs. He kills some people. He ends up because they steal his journals at a certain point. He only gets a few pages of it, so he's got to sneak his way in there and get them back. But he ends up finding where does he go after this point? I think he goes back to the same events a couple times, so it makes the timeline.
Yeah, because now this is where I start like losing the thread.
Yeah.
At some point, he tries. So I mean, basically, he tries to fix all of the. Traumatic
like the initial
moments.
Trauma points that we start with at the beginning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the pedophile dad first.
Yes.
Then next time it is, I think, maybe he's doing it in sequence.
Yeah.
He goes back and tries to save the
dog. We got pedophile. We got dog.
The dog.
Yep. We got baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those so are the
baby boom boom.
Goes back and saves the dog, I think, by giving Lenny a weapon and says, cut the rope so Lenny could free the dog from a burlap sack.
You couldn't save the baby, but you can save the dog. This is your redeeming moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that's what she says later on. Amy Smart's character does, because he alters time. By giving Lenny a weapon, Lenny stabs Tommy to death. Oh my God! Now we're in a situation where, it's a scramble.
Lenny, what the hell, Lenny? Why are you stabbing dudes?
Well, so when he wakes up, where is he in this version?
When he wakes up in this one, he's able to talk to Tommy and tell him, explain a lot, and he's like, "I know you never hurt your sister." Don't do this.
Tommy's like
Tommy has a change of heart. This family really.
Actually, no, Tommy. So we did this backwards then, right? Because I can't keep this straight.
Yeah, I know. I
think I'll go with whatever you say.
I think he goes and saves the baby, right? Because Tommy. Actually, Tommy saves the baby. That did come later. I'm sorry. At some point, he gets his arm blown off. He wakes up in a version where he doesn't have arms.
That was in one trailer. I remember seeing the reveal that his arms are cut off.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this
that did come later because first she becomes a prostitute.
There we go. Yes. I was like, we're
And she got hit in the face more so when she was a kid. So now she got a big scar.
Yeah. The thing about this, I guess, that I always assume from like an actor's point of view, and you kind of have to like, you know, look at the work that they did and go like, okay, were they successful or not? It's got to be a great movie for all the actors because they got to play like four different versions of the same character, right?
Yep.
Amy Smart got to be the waitress, right? Who's living with the trauma all the time. Then she's the sorority girl, and then she's the prostitute, and then
and she's in love with a different friend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's happy, but it's different.
It's very Biff from Back to the Future.
Yeah. So we're getting. I mean, that's what's fun about who did the best version. You know, best actor in the movie. You know, I don't know. I liked Amy Smart. I thought she was like.
Well, I think she's doing the best because I don't think anybody else gets too big a change. I mean, what's his name?
Tommy gets a pretty big one.
The guy who
Tommy, but also, but the, it's a big one. But it also doesn't like he saved a woman once, and now he's a Jesus freak. Like it doesn't.
That makes sense.
Well, okay, maybe like his ego.
I was like,
I'm a savior.
That fucking tracks. He picked one thing and decided to ride on that for the rest of his life. Like,
All right, you're right.
And it's like at this point, let him.
It makes him a better person. Than what
no one would stop him. Right.
If it keeps him from murdering people, but it's fine.
And the guy
reading the Bible instead of burning dogs.
Right.
The guy who played Lenny,
Elvin Henson.
He was Daredevil.
Foggy.
Yeah,
foggy, but he doesn't have money. He's usually
Also in Idle Hands?
Yes. She's all that.
She's all that. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I love him.
He's been around. But he didn't have too much either. He's comatose or building model planes.
Yeah,
or he's a hippie kind of. He's got a long hair and a goatee and everything, and he's in love with Amy Smart at a certain point.
Yeah,
they're together in a future.
That's the one that really hurts.
But, because
that's
the one Jesus.
Because that's the one where Ashton Kutcher is in a wheelchair because he's blown off both of his arms. We got CGI like arm removal.
Say that again. Yeah. He's in a wheelchair because he blew off his arm.
Yes.
I assume he's married, paralyzed too. I don't know.
Yeah, I assume it's there's some spinal damage. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's because he tried to. Save the lady and the baby. Right. So his arms.
Would you like a granola bar?
Oh my god, that's
and she gave him like what are the ones that always are crumbs anyway?
Nature Valley.
Yeah, she gives him a Nature Valley granola bar. It's like that's not
just
gonna make it.
Crumbles. What I like about this.
What do you like about this? This is tickled Holly.
No, what I like about this is the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, bro, you should just take the win on this one, like. Everyone else is doing good.
I thought that too.
His life sucks so much.
No, it does, but But it's
like he said, he couldn't even kill himself.
I know, but he made life better for everybody else.
That was
at
your goal.
The cost of his own suffering.
Right, but
forever.
That was his goal.
I wouldn't stick with it either.
I get bailing on this one.
I'm glad you guys agree,
but with what he's already been through, he's already been to prison.
Maybe like take some time. Yeah. In this era, and you know, breathe and relax, and then try and change stuff.
But all the robot hand stuff reminded me of I Know Who Killed Me and her robot arm and leg in that movie.
Lose a arm or both arms?
One arm and a leg.
Okay.
But it wasn't until the moment that we realized his mom's dying of cancer. I'm like, all right, well, this is his moment that he's got.
And his mom's dying of cancer.
Nothing's ever completely balanced.
Yeah, he's going to save mom. Well, he did, and then there was a suicide attempt, right? Because he's got no arms. He tried to drown himself in the bathtub.
I did like Tommy's line in this moment where he's like, you forgot the toaster, bro.
You forgot to put the toaster on the ledge.
Yeah.
That was a funny line. It's a funny, depressing line.
It's like a surprising line from a Christian.
But in this, he has to. Okay, so then he's like, "Well, I got to go back and fix something else, and somehow change." You know, because this is bad. Yeah. So I don't even remember how he got the notebooks in this one to read.
Eldon Henson helps him. I think he kind of explains a little bit to him. He's like, find my journal. My mom packed it. And I think he's got far
he
less.
He pulls it out from under his bed and he like holds it open for him to read it.
Yeah. And he tries it once, ends up back.
What does he change? Does he change he talks with his dad?
That might be where he goes back and talks to his dad.
So what we see in that scene in the prison when he speaks with his dad is he's acknowledging to his dad that, like, I have this power too. Right. Dad is trying to kill him because
like,
he's like,
should have ended with me.
Yeah, you're gonna fuck everything up.
You can't do anything about it.
I thought that was interesting because later, I think the timeline that resulted from this. Right, was him in the mental ward.
Yes.
Or no, he was in the mental ward after he accidentally killed, he kills Amy Smart's character as a.
Oh, yeah.
Because he goes back to the pedophile basement.
To get rid of the dynamite.
And he blows her up.
Yeah.
And he blows her up on accident. Like, and so fire. Then he wakes up in a mental institution and.
This is the last one, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, the mental institution's the
last one.
We get to a happy ending.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy.
There's no happiness.
Oh, yeah. So the dad, right? We're putting him on the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame. Yes, this is Callum Keith Rennie, who you will remember from previous Saturday Night Freak Show episode, Time Cop.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this man loves time travel. Okay.
He was also in Existenz.
Oh, okay.
And he was in The Butterfly Effect. So welcome, Callum Keith Rennie, to the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame. We've also inducted to the hallway Amy Esterly. She was the gothic co-ed, if you recall.
One of the ones banging.
The one who was like, you fucked up the bell curve.
Was that the same one? Because we see...
there's two of them.
Yeah, I'll see a couple of them. Anyway, doesn't matter.
I think she was the second one. And then she was also party girl number 3 in the woods in Trick or Treat.
Okay.
Oh, werewolf.
Well, good for
and
her.
She was a hot tub girl in the appropriately titled Hot Tub Time Machine. So there's
all right, so at least all these people we put on the wall have at least 2 time travel movies to their credit.
That's probably why she was cast.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yep. Totally I was like, you have experience with time travel. You'll be perfect in this movie.
So he's thrust into. Oh, the other thing that's happening here is, I guess, his brain. He's experiencing hemorrhages in his brain because his brain is actually being reconfigured or traumatized by the fact that he's packing 20 years of memory. It rewrites itself. There's a CGI thing that's happening here. If you listen to our episode on Malignant, when that character would go into a different, perspective or world, you know, we have the modern CG version where everything changed.
Right.
This is the old school CG version where there's kind of like this weird CGI warp.
Vibrates, we're
shaking, and then
because this is a high budget movie, it's not a low budget movie. High budget movie, a little, it's CG, cutting edge.
It's a very it's a very early aughts thing.
Yep. It has that Windows Media Player aesthetic, you know, kind of frame and vibe on it.
Yeah, it doesn't read as well.
Nope,
but. So he wakes up in a mental institution and the thing about this is right because now he's telling his psychiatrist you have the my journals give me my journals
but time he went back too far
before
it was ever suggested he keep a journal
so he has no journals and the psychiatrist breaks the horrible news that your dad went the same way complaining about a photo album that he never had. So that's how you get like, stuck, I guess, right? In
you go
a certain,
back too far.
Yeah.
He's like,
I kind of like this.
Right.
So, but he does solve, like, how you get out of this is, Mom, do you remember that you kept home movies of us? And I'm like, I don't understand how he got to the, it feels like there's a lot cut out of this movie in the editing, you know, or
editing
something in the screenplay.
Hell on this movie, considering how many times they go back to certain events over and over, different perspectives on it. Yeah, editing must have been
awful.
And especially like there was a scene where he was when he meets a prostitute Amy Smart, and then it just kind of fades out in the middle of the conversation, and then picks up somewhere later in a diner.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa, there was more to that. I think probably. So he looks at the home movies as, of course,
on a full projector that is being projected on a wall.
Yeah, because that's what you do when you're being chased by hospital staff.
You take the time to, because can you imagine if they'd taken the time for him to like unpack the film, wrap it around the thing, set it up, find the plug-in.
That would have really funny if this movie stopped dead to show us that whole process.
Well, this is a nit to pick, but it's also kind of amusing to kind of play out like how this worked. He escaped from his room.
No locked doors in this institution.
So he's running down the hall like a madman, mm-hmm. looking like he's being chased and going around.
He's running down the hall like a fucking Scooby-Doo cartoon.
He's very shaggy.
Yeah.
I remember this a lot based on that run down the hallway.
Like it looks like Jim Carrey running in the Grinch.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to the psychiatrist's office where the films are kept.
Yes.
Okay. And then he hides under a desk and he writes and narrates a new note.
Mm-hmm.
Saying if anybody finds this, this means that I was unsuccessful. For some reason, the filmmakers took this scene and put it at the head of the movie. So this is actually like how we come into the movie because they were like, we can't
just kicking down a door to enter this office.
Maybe you have to establish that Ashton Kutcher's in your movie. Because it feels like it was written
If we're not gonna, if we're gonna go 20-25 minutes without having that character in there, you do want to. Yeah,
I bet you that was right.
Probably, yeah. Because people are gonna be like, "I thought Ashton Kutcher was in this movie. Who the fuck are these kids? And why is it so depressing?"
And so while he's under the desk, he threads the film projector. Or no, he had it pre-threaded. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it was all set up and ready to go.
So what is the film that he's watching?
It's the first time that him and Kaylee met when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
As like seven and
so what is his solution here? Okay, so the question
his solution is I'll fucking kill you.
It was more abuse.
More trauma.
Yeah, more trauma and abuse will fix this.
Like that is the answer that these people have come up with.
Mm-hmm. You're saying the idea here is that
if they never says, we can't do any of these things.
Okay. I mean, I was actually kind of with the movie up until this point. Yeah. There was a
because she had told him previously that like when her parents separated that she only chose to go with dad because she wanted to be near Evan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she would have gone with her mom because her mom was a good parent.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, okay. Right,
so
right, right.
This is the moment where he's like, she needs to choose to go with mom.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, if I like make her scared of me, mm-hmm. she'll choose mom. Mm-hmm.
And this will save her from pedophile dad.
Yep.
Tommy.
We'll have a stable parent.
Mm-hmm. Tommy will?
Yeah.
Because would he go with?
He went with.
Oh, yeah. Tommy went with. Okay, went with. So they went. They go with mom.
They both graduated college, and like
he loved his sister. Yeah. If nothing else, he would have gone with her. Yep.
And so that means that Lenny and Evan never meet mm-hmm. pedophile dad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that changes the trajectory of their life.
Right.
So
and they're just like normal kid best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So the object lesson here being, because I thought it was like, well, you're the problem if you take you out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Right. But they tried that. And mm-hmm. now he's like, well, I just have to give up the thing I love most in the world. Yeah. I have to give her up.
Yeah.
And then everybody will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he goes back in time and says this. Okay. Well, that I guess does make more sense than where I was going.
Would you like to know
those?
The other version that doesn't quite make so much
sense? Wait, what? There's another version?
There's a director's cut of this movie.
Oh, which one did we watch?
How much longer is it?
This is a theatrical cut. I think we watch, it's 7 minutes longer.
Oh my God. Okay.
This was 113 minutes. The other one's 120. Here,
this is where I'm going to, is it a different ending?
There is a couple different endings.
Because I did not remember this ending.
This is the ending, the theatrical ending. Okay. The theatrical version.
Wait, to establish it, how does this movie end?
This movie ends in which he goes back, traumatizes young Kaylee in order to keep her away from him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She goes with mom.
Yep.
Happy childhood.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so then we flash forward many years later. Ashton Kutcher is walking out of a building in New York. He appears successful. He's he's telling us like, yeah, I'll get to that on Monday or whatever.
Apparently his brain soup has healed.
I
guess.
Yep. And then he's walking down a busy New York street and who does he pass? Kaylee.
Successful
years
Kaylee.
Later. In a white power suit. Yep. Like she's dressed in white because everybody else is dressed in black. So she stands out more, but they pass each other. They get that kind of deja vu thing that thing where they walk past each other. One looks back, but then looks the other way while the other one looks back.
Mm-hmm.
So they never actually make contact.
Never make contact. But this is the happy sappy ending.
Okay, so this is a happy sappy ending. I was sitting there going like, this is a total bummer. Like we've gone through this whole time and they don't get
so Colin would rather have the happy sappy stalker ending.
But
here we go.
My question is like at this point you've bypassed the trauma, why not just turn around and be like, hi, I'm Evan.
Right. Exactly.
You're really pretty, like whatever your pickup line is, like you can pick her up now.
So the idea being he knows that like, oh, I can't actually talk to her because all I bring is bad luck.
I don't think he knows that in this moment. I think that he like Sean said, I think that he just gets a vague, like, she seems familiar, and that's
it. Well, he knows.
He knows.
Well, yeah.
She wouldn't know.
But, I don't think it's as, premeditated as Colin is saying.
Right, but I'll bet all that,
I have another question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
About the logic of this.
Sure.
Every time that he rewrites the present, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see sequences of flashback of the alternate timelines kind of running in reverse. And the impression I had was that they were
memories,
he was losing
away.
Those memories.
Yes.
So he doesn't like remember.
No, I don't think that's that. I think okay. it's just showing time reversal and changing the timeline. But he right. still remembers. He still remembers.
Yes. Yep, we'll go with that. Then there's the, like I said, the happy, sappy stalker ending where they do the same thing.
This is the director's cut.
Nope. Just another alternate ending where he, after they do the turn and look and everything, he turns around and follows her.
Mm.
And so there is, you assume there is some sort of, hi, how are you? And
there's everything. A possibility that he's going to talk to her,
right.
but he doesn't actually talk to her.
We don't see it. We just see him following her.
And they chose not to do that, I guess.
Chose not to do that.
Interesting.
Okay. I think there's one.
It's like, let's just be morose and dark. And because I like the fact that he's talking to his mom
on
the
phone.
He has no, she's like alive. Years later, he doesn't have any romantic attachments. He is still talking, to,
still
his
talking
mom.
To his mom. I think for the first ending, he's like, after he sees her, like he could go follow her and do the whole thing where he's just like,
yeah.
And, but also he's like, if you remember everything that you fucking went through that we watched in this movie, like, wouldn't you be like scared shitless at a certain point and just want to leave it alone?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that maybe
makes sense.
I remember all that. And what if so, cause he's sure he doesn't know how
things are good. I don't want to fuck it up.
Like, let's not fuck this up. Cause we don't know exactly how entirely this works or if we can still fuck
shit
up.
He's just like, I cannot fucking even.
Yeah.
I'm
rich and successful. I'm going to call a win. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't dare.
This is what we're saying. It's more, the theatrical one is more heroic than he's sacrificing.
Yeah. It's like the end of the latest Spider-Man movie. He chooses not to reintroduce himself.
Okay.
Let them live their lives. So,
spoiler.
Well, okay.
I haven't even seen it yet.
You have.
Okay,
shut up.
That's true.
And then we have, I think there's one other, there's two other endings, I believe. One other one, I think they maybe talk. I'm maybe talking out my ass on that one. But then there is the director's cut ending in which, I think the home video he watches is of his birth and he is transferred back.
This is what I remember.
He's transferred back in time and he strangles himself in the womb.
This is why. Yes. Okay. Now we're talking.
I like that better.
I found this ending, and I was like, "No, the ending I remember,
so you remember
was something
the
about a womb."
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is it.
Strangles himself in the womb.
And that's
it. There's also, I think, some sort of dialogue or backstory where it's mentioned that his mother had previous late term deaths during the pregnancy.
Oh,
so
God.
It gets you thinking, like maybe. Other children that she's would have had before
this.
Have also done this and gone back and killed themselves in the womb multiple times.
See, now it's all coming together. Because we were watching this and I'm like, I remember him dying at the end. Like, what is it? And I was like, am I just thinking, like, because I watched Donnie Darko too many times? Like, what am I thinking? That's it.
Strangles himself in the womb.
Yep. That's what I remember.
He inhabits his womb self and just.
Yep. That's what I remember.
He basically does what Don Cheadle wanted to do to baby Thanos in Avengers.
There you go.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the conclusion.
And that should end it.
The butterfly effect.
Death.
Now, it depends on which version that you've seen in the past and how your memory has been affected by this.
Apparently, I watched the director's cut.
Apparently.
Okay. Well, we're going to go around the table and tell you whether or not you should watch it. We're going to each review it. But first, before we do that, we're going to involve you in this interactive portion of our show by summoning our mailman, Igor, to bring us your mail.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
I wonder what the different versions of Igor are like.
Again,
like what body parts they have and stuff.
He's the baby that blew up. That's why he's made of multiple pieces.
He's
at this
the
point.
Baby that blew
I
up.
See
he
him
was
again.
That wide-eyed baby.
See, I want to see him in the Tommy Hilfiger jacket.
Yeah.
Can we, like, where's Igor's journals? Can we have them read them?
Right.
I will read them. I'll go back in time.
I feel like his journals will look like Charlie's from It's Always Sunny.
Right.
Denim chicken?
Yes.
But it's always like, it's the same body parts that make Igor, right? It's just a different head this time. It used to be your arm, but not your head and all that. Well, we should let the good folks know how they can get a hold of us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/SatNightFreakShow.
On X, Twitter.
@SatFreakShow.
by email.
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
And on Instagram, threads at Saturday Night Freak Show. About tonight's movie, The Butterfly Effect, Jimbo Ice writes in and said, Jimbo. Oh my God, no, please no. First splice and now this?
Yeah. Ah.
That's fair. Well, at least you have two different people to blame.
Right, that's true.
Michael Whitaker says, it's an Eric Stoltz two movie marathon on The Freak Show. I always thought...
All right, Holly.
I was like, but will it be a trilogy?
What do we got?
he says, I always thought it was an interesting choice to cast Ashton Kutcher, of all people, who at the time was sort of known for being a pretty boy actor. This was definitely not the career trajectory I pictured him going in, especially after Dude, Where's My Car?
I bet that's why he chose it. Mm-hmm. He's done so much comedy and goofy stuff at this point. He's like, I'm going to try a serious role. Yeah.
Every comedian has to do their serious role. Sometimes it works.
Sometimes you're Robin Williams. Sometimes you're Robin Williams. Sometimes...
Bill Murray.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Jim Carrey. Adam Sandler.
Jim Carrey does some good stuff. Yeah. Adam Sandler. Yeah, everyone does it.
Some good stuff. Yeah.
Kryptonian.
Dane Cook? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was like, when? When did I miss it? Like,
let's move on.
I think we all
Dan in real life doesn't count.
I said that may have been as close as we
I
get.
Think that's as close. And he's still an asshole in that. Can you believe the guy's Dane Cook played an asshole in something?
Shocking. Who knew?
Kryptonian Orphan says, I'm thoroughly convinced that the repetitive Dormammu scene at the end of the first Doctor Strange movie was heavily influenced by the butterfly effect, which was in turn probably influenced as a darker version of Groundhog Day. What do you think?
I mean, a lot of people saw Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. You can always... I'm sure it influenced a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, but I'm sure it influenced a lot. Well, no, Happy Death Day is the horror
version of Groundhog Day. Travis Legler says, this movie has some interesting ideas, visuals, and performances, but the movie, like the original Pet Sematary, is a bummer, but a good film. I know we all love good sequels, looking at you, Sean, but this series is no Tremors from what I've heard. It only goes downhill from here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not positive, but I'm taking bets this one will be Freak Show approved. I could be wrong, but if I am, I could always go back and try to change things. What's the worst that could happen?
I'll tell you the reactions to what you just said later after we've done our review. But it was... noted.
Mike Miller says, I love time travel movies, but for some reason this one never fully clicked for me. Some of it might have to do with the butterfly effect rules being too wonky and convenient to the plot. I like a lot of the cast and the actual concept is right up my alley. It just never fully gelled. Also, I may be an outlier, but I prefer the theatrical ending over the In the Womb alternate.
Nope, Holly's all womb baby strangling. Yeah.
That's what I knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't say I liked it
better.
I think
it's more interesting.
But do you?
It is more interesting.
There we go.
It's like, oh, I haven't seen that before. You know?
If nothing else, you probably get up.
Oh, what? Yeah. Because,
well, I was going to look it up beforehand. We have to watch the video because I don't know how they do it. I don't remember if we're in the womb.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I was hoping.
We are in
that's
the
what I was hoping that we were in the womb.
That's what I remembered. I'm like, am I imagining this?
Right. Okay.
And then when you said, I'm like, thank you. I'm not going crazy.
Nope.
All right. Last week we watched a movie called The Prophecy. Jesse Butler wrote in and said, this is one of those movies where I'd have said, skip the first movie because the second movie is the better movie. Like you don't even need to see it. They completely scrapped the evil soul plot and just rebooted. You could tell Walken knew what type of movie he was in with that movie and was having fun being this a-hole angel / Terminator. Mm-hmm. I like the story of the third one, but would never recommend it to anyone.
I was going to say, there are a bunch of these, aren't there? Like four?
Five.
Five.
So we should check out two, it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Angel Terminator gets me interested.
The week before, we watched a movie called Brain Scan, and Steve Carney is talking about a comment that we made during the movie, saying teenage movie bedrooms were really awesome. Just look at Shia LaBeouf's bedroom in Disturbia. It was two whole rooms.
Yep. Yeah, that was like a whole loft apartment, too, in that movie.
We got an attic bedroom in this movie.
Yep.
And we did.
Attic bedroom. Yeah. Full, you know, full of
model airplanes
and what have you, but yes.
Can't Live With Them writes in and says, Brain Scan is massively underrated.
Yeah. Mm. You're welcome.
All right.
To that opinion, I guess.
Okay, now we're going to go around the room and tell you what we thought of tonight's movie, The Butterfly Effect, starting with
Colin.
Oh, shit.
Colin goes first tonight. What did you think about 2004's The Butterfly Effect, starring Ashton Kutcher?
Okay, I liked it.
There you go.
I know, it's very shocking. So here's why. Okay. I got to put you in my headspace to why I arrived at this, because I think that it's going to be... probably nobody else did. when I saw it the first time, I had a negative experience. I think a lot of that was born out of the fact that I don't know. I thought it was going to be a different movie. And so then I'm like, well, it's what you were bringing into it, saying that, you know, you thought it was something else. You left disappointed. I was bummed out. The ending was a bummer. It's just like, it's a bummer movie. This time because I guess I knew that tone to expect going in, it didn't affect me as much as, you know, I'm aware that it's a bummer movie. So I guess, you know, a recommendation here is with a caveat, you know, I mean, this is not a feel good movie. But I did actually enjoy it. The thing, I guess, about it that why I would recommend it was because at no point really was my interest lagging, which I kind of thought was surprising.
Never bored.
It was, well, there was a moment, but it was very late during, like, you know, after I think when he woke up in the mental institution, I'm like, okay, you can just keep doing this ad nauseum. Right. And I don't know if I know where we're going. And they were like, also like, okay, this is where we got to wrap this up. And so they did, like, very quickly after that. But until that point, I was like actually engaged in the movie. I did actually like the performances, and, you know, Ashton Kutcher, I can take him or leave him. I like the people around him, mm-hmm. I guess, in it. And, I mean, the ending's a bit questionable, but overall I had a better experience this time around. So I'm surprised that I liked it so much more than I did the first time. And for that reason, I'm not going to recommend it. Michaela, what'd you think?
Mm. I found it to be 2 hours of irredeemable people abusing each other. I found it to be repugnant and repellent. And I don't enjoy trauma porn for the sake of, like, isn't that fucked up? Like, that's this movie's attitude. Like, isn't that so edgy and fucked up?
This is your Jackie Chan. Like, it's repugnant and repellent.
Yeah, it's like,
I don't like it.
It's like, it's just extreme for the sake of being extreme, because it's edgy and teenagers like cool shit like that. And I was bored and I felt the runtime. I can't believe this movie's almost 2 hours long. That's insane. Yeah, I didn't like it when I saw it in 2004. Don't like it in 2024. It's just
now,
not
can we get you
for me.
Do you have a journal in which you wrote that down?
I should write these feelings down so I can jump back to this
so
moment.
Can jump
and change
back.
My review.
Yes.
Okay. That's why you won't even be able to come back and change
this.
It. Yeah.
Try and change the trauma that you got from watching this movie the first time and try to have a better experience.
I don't think Ashton Kutcher is a good serious actor. I haven't seen Jobs. I probably won't.
I don't think I've seen Jobs.
Yeah. I think he had the appropriate type of fame for who he is. And, you know,
that's marvelous.
Good for him. You know, I don't need to see him on the ranch or any later properties. I need him and his wife to stop talking permanently forever and just enjoy your money quietly. Yeah. You can Google it. But also, they also were just one of those couples that felt the need to overshare their relationship on social media all the time. And just enjoy your millions and be quiet.
To know everything about your
exactly.
life.
Pass. Holly.
Pass.
Pass. Yeah.
He did the Friends with Benefits movie, right?
Yes.
Or was he No Strings Attached?
No, that's Justin Timberlake.
Yeah,
and Mila Kunis.
But his wife, well, that's what I was going to say. His wife did the other one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
I bet they talk about that over dinner.
Oh my God. So dumb. So I can't, I don't think, like, being bored or not is a factor for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't say I was bored, but I was, like, appalled and depressed, and I just hated every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I may not have been bored, but I was definitely not fucking enjoying myself.
It's bleak. You know?
It's very mm-hmm. bleak. Like, the memorable parts of this movie, because I didn't watch in the theater. I watched it on video because
right.
we've established it was
right,
the director's cut,
yes.
which is why I was very confused at the end of this movie. I was like, this is
tame.
I was like, am I making up womb scenes? Like, am I going crazy? What's happening?
More baby murder, please.
What's happening? The only things I remembered from this movie was the timeline where Amy Smart becomes a prostitute
mm-hmm.
and the womb thing at the end. Like, that's all I really remembered. The rest of it, I was just like, fuck. I blocked this movie out. Like, it's intensely depressing. I can't recommend. Like, one of our listeners mentioned, you know, depressing, like Pet Sematary. I would much rather watch Pet Sematary.
Yeah, same.
Yes,
there are redeeming qualities about that. That's a great movie. There's enjoyable things in that movie, even though it's depressing as fuck. This one, there's nothing enjoyable about it. I don't like the characters. I don't like the story. I like the concept. I like the idea of being like a psychological thriller, time travel, you know, manipulation kind of thing. I think that's really cool. But the way it's executed, it's confusing as fuck. It's really weird, and it's a huge downer, and I just, nah. It made me feel icky. It's a hard pass. There's a reason I hadn't watched this in 20 years. Yeah, that's a no for me. Sean, take us home. Why did you bring this movie?
And a lot of people might be with you on that one. Why they only watch it once and do. Yeah, brought it tonight, wanted to revisit it because I hadn't watched it in a very long time. And I remember watching it a lot earlier on. I don't know that I saw it in theaters. Probably home video. It was big at the time. I don't know if I'm going to have to watch the womb ending after this because I don't know if I remember seeing it. But I'm
with... It's shocking.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, that might have been better.
It sticks with you.
It does.
But I'm with Colin on this one. It's just like there's something about the movie where it is traumatizing. It is a bummer movie, but I wasn't too... It is a bummer movie, but I wasn't too bummed out by it, you know what I mean? And it's a hard movie to like. It's a hard movie to explain why you like it, and it would also be like a hard movie to explain like you should watch it. I don't necessarily know that other people should watch it. I don't know. It's a weird movie. I enjoyed the acting in it. I think Amy Smart's doing really well. Ashton Kutcher. I don't normally like him in other roles. I'm okay with him in this role. I don't think he did too bad of a job.
He was going for it.
Yeah, I appreciate his effort. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I like the effort into it. Again, there's nothing about his performance that turned me off. There's nothing really about anybody's performance that turned me off in this. Maybe Eric Stoltz, but that's just because he's a slimy.
It's his character.
It's just the character you're supposed
he's
to hate.
He's good at playing a creep.
He's really good at it. But yeah, I enjoyed the movie. I kind of like the idea. I think is very sound. I even enjoyed the mechanism of him going back in time, the shakiness of it. Even if it is kind of a relic of the time this movie came out,
the visual effect.
Yeah, the visual effect of everything kind of shaking the words on the page. It doesn't look cheap at all. I don't think of its time, sure, but definitely not cheap. I think it's effective for the movie. Again, I like all the side characters. Ethan Suplee or Sloopy as
Sloopy
as Colin labeled him earlier. Yeah, I liked the movie. It's okay if it's a bummer. This is a real bummer, but I'm okay with it being a bummer.
I'm a little weirded out that we're 2 weeks in a row of Eric Stoltz playing a really creepy dude with kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was
redeem him, Holly? I don't want to place on your shoulders. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you.
But know what you're getting into if you do decide to listen to, half of us and go see this movie. I think I'll recommend it or maybe just say that I enjoyed it, or at least I had a quote-unquote good time with it. I don't know. Again, it's hard to say these things about this movie.
Yeah.
Did they accomplish what
I think they accomplished what they wanted to do.
I think they really got the movie they were...
You did just say, I don't think I would tell anyone to watch it.
I don't. It's hard.
Isn't that what we're doing right now?
Well, I mean, specifically,
telling people if they should watch it or not?
Yeah, but that's I don't know the mass audience. I don't know. Maybe it's more specific. Just like if I met someone, just like I wouldn't tell that person to watch it. All right, I'm gonna tell my audience watch this movie. I think it's definitely part of its time when it came out, but I think there's some interesting stuff in here to think about, discuss performances and whatnot. Yeah, I'll recommend it. Why not? The Butterfly Effect.
All right. Split vote on the Butterfly Effect. Next week, we are going to watch a movie that's chosen by...
Holly! What shall we watch next week? And will Eric Stoltz be in it?
Well, I looked at his IMDb. Everything.
There's nothing.
It's come to an end.
There's nothing
hit
for
the wall.
Us.
I need a break.
All right.
I very much need a break. But we are going to travel back in time.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It's not a time travel movie. Okay. We're just going to go back to the 70s.
Ooh, all right.
We're going to watch a movie called The Messiah of Evil.
Oh, okay. All right. Colin and I have watched this.
Yeah. Colin had a reaction.
Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The Messiah of Evil. Mm-hmm. is next week.
I'm going to have to look at the poster. I feel like I've seen the poster.
Yeah, you have.
Okay, I was going to say, this sounds like a poster I've seen.
It's from the husband and wife duo who later wrote Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom. Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
What a lineage I know. To go into this movie with.
I know. Prepare yourself.
You said 70s?
73.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, all right. This.
And there might be a connection to the baby.
The baby.
All right.
Oh, no.
Baby. Does this baby get blown up?
Well, you'll have to tune in to find out. All right. So that's Messiah of Evil. You can pre-watch. That's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. We hope you'll join us for that. Thanks for listening. And until then, ladies and germs, the basement is going dark.